Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. Glad you're with us here today on this August 25th, 2019. It is the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and this is going to be the last week that you'll listen to us at the 11 o'clock hour in the northern part of the diocese. We're always heard in the southern part of the diocese at 9 a.m., and we're also going to be at 9 a.m., on WKZO. So just to mark your calendars so that you're listening to the program next week, which that will be our new time, 9 a.m., and I believe that's what all the commercials are saying, to tune in at 9 a.m. And we're also hoping to have the bishop on with us next Sunday as well, and he will be commenting on the scriptures and the things that are going on in the diocese, things that are going on in the church. Always an enjoyable time to have Bishop Bradley with us. So we've got some great scripture readings today, and kind of a historic moment in some regards. I'm sure that this has happened before, but you know, the church doesn't have any definite, defined teachings on this weekend's scriptures readings. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have meaning. They have meaning. They have actually great meaning, maybe even more meaning than you can even imagine, because this is really a reflection, self-reflection. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, well, you know, I decide what kind of God I want to follow, and I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, which just is a way of copping out, saying I don't want to go to church and I don't want to give any money to anybody. That's my opinion anyway, because I've heard that for a long time, you know. And recovering, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot. And all the little special sayings, you know, that people have, you know, and, you know, everybody thinks they're, it's terminal uniqueness is what we call it. Terminal uniqueness in humanity, for ourselves and for everyone. So this weekend's kind of a very special, time. It is, it's 4 months before Christmas. You know, it's August 25th, so it's 4 months till Christmas. Can you believe that? But I think it's a time with this opening up of the Holy Spirit, to really ask us, honestly, you know, school is starting. It's been starting for a lot of kids, and will be starting this next week for a lot of people. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when we read the scripture readings, this is what I'm going to talk about, because the scriptures are screaming at us that, listen, you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. And a lot of people say, well, I don't need to make a choice. I can wait. I can wait. You know, there's still time for me. Well, there's not time for you or anyone else. You know, don't fool yourself with that kind of silliness. You know, just this last week, I'd gone to, you know, 3 funerals, and not just my church, and all different age groups, from young people to older people. And so I tell you, my brothers and sisters, don't wait. You know, I talked to someone last week, you know, I told him, you know, if you have any belief in God, start praying. You know, don't get caught up into this mass confusion. So many people walking in this terror of the future, dread of the past. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, the church is here for you, to help you and to heal you. Does the church have problems? Oh yeah, absolutely, we've got problems. You know, and in some ways, some of the stuff that has happened and will continue to happen in the future, you know, people will be wrongly accused, and people who have been accused, who should be punished, will be walking around free. But I tell you what, God is going to straighten it all out. There will be justice for everyone. True justice. And these people who have hurt children, no matter who they are going to pay a great price. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we do need to make a choice. We do need to decide each and every day, each and every moment of every day, whether to choose good or whether to choose evil. It is our choice. And the scriptures laid before us today ask us that very question in a very serious way. So in case you're interested in anything about the Catholic Church, you can go to Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. HolyFamilyRadio.net is a great place to listen to Catholic radio and see some of the options about Catholic radio. Of course, EWTN. You can reach me through DeaconLouisZemlich.com. And, of course, we're always talking about trying to save the Mother House, historic Mother House and Chapel out at Nazareth. So we encourage you to go to SaveNazareth.com. Sign the petition. Please participate any way you can. We are in dire straits, and unfortunately, you know, just as this is a very stressful time for us, because we know that they could be tearing those buildings down at any moment now. It's a great tragedy, a great crime that's being committed against the body of Christ, a great crime that's being committed against this community, quite frankly, by the management of the Sisters of St. Joseph. And also to mention that's going on at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Pawpaw. David Haas is going to be there September 13th, Friday, September 13th. Of course, that's a prayer date for us. We'll be praying out at Nazareth on that day, that Friday from 11 to 12, September 13th. But at 7 p.m. at St. Mary's in Pawpaw, there's a workshop and retreat celebrating the Eucharist, Path of Spirituality and Discipleship. And they're also going to have something on September 14th as well. So contact St. Mary's Catholic Church in Pawpaw on Brown Street for that. And so let's go right into the scripture readings. And these are the scriptures that are read at Catholic churches throughout the world this very day, this 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Thus says the Lord, excuse me, this is a reading, this first reading is from Isaiah 66, 18 through 21. Thus says the Lord, I know their works and their thoughts, and I will come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them. From them I will send fugitives to the nations, to Tarshish, Put, Lud, Moskos, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands, and have never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall proclaim my glory among the nations. They shall bring all of your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring forth their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels, some of these I will take as priests and Levites, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is from Psalm 117, 1 and 2. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. For steadfast is his kindness towards us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Okay, our second reading is from Hebrews, and it's Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, and then 11 through 13. Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, and then 11 through 13. Brothers and sisters, You have forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges, endures your trials as discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? At the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. Yet later it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed, but healed. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, 22 through 30. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught us in your streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out, and people will come from east and west and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of this gospel wipe away our sins. So my brothers and sisters, welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And some powerful readings today, really readings that whenever, you know, the church does not have direct teaching from the catechism, which I love to use the catechism for these direct teachings on Holy Scripture and what God is talking to us to today. But when they are left blank, there is this little bit of room for this own, our own personal revelation. And you know, God is speaking to us, isn't he? So we always want to put ourselves in the story. You know, even in the, as the place of Jesus, looking to see, even to the point of crucifixion, even to the point of us carrying that cross, as many of us do carry that cross, except especially if we're sick, if we're ill, and you know, don't let that sickness or that illness go to waste. See, suffering, we will all suffer. We all suffer in this life. And as God is telling us in the scriptures today, especially, you know, here in Hebrews, each one of these scriptures has this saying to us that this glory is going to come to us if we endure, right? And not to forget the exhortation that was addressed to us as children. So in a very powerful way, speaking to all those Catholics out there who have walked away from the church. Okay? Walked away. Well, many people will say, well, I was driven away. You know, I was driven away by all the scandal. Or I was driven away because they wanted money from me. Or I was driven away because somebody treated me rudely. I understand all those things. But you choose. And that pastor isn't necessarily there. There's lots of different churches you can go to. There's lots of different Catholic churches you can go to. And everybody makes mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. And so we see this in a very interesting part. So to go back, to back up a little bit to Isaiah, Isaiah 66. And it really reflects, I think, my brothers and sisters, it really reflects Christmas for me. I look at this, it's very much like Christmas. We talk about the mules and the dromedaries, right? The horses and the chariots, all traveling. And the house of the Lord is in a clean vessel. These clean vessels. You think about the Blessed Mother. And then out of some of these, there will be made priests and Levite. And of course, who is our high priest? Who is our great high priest? None other than Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So just beautiful that and all throughout Isaiah, of course, but especially the Isaiah in the 60s, all the 60s chapters there. I was looking through some of the readings for during Christmas time, and 62 was in there, and I think 64 was in there, but 66 was not. But I still look at that, you know, whenever you see dromedaries or mules or horses and you think of caravans, I think of Christmas. Very beautiful. But a very powerful reading, my brothers and sisters, is this book of Hebrews. You know, and very often we'll look at this, and I've got to look it up, dial it up here real quick in my Catholic Bible. Yes, believe it or not, I have a Bible, a Catholic Bible. And of course, the Catholic Bible's got 7 more books than the King James Version Bible, which I always find that so funny that the Protestant Bible got named after a King of England. I think that's just kind of hilarious in a way, you know, because you know, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ, not King James, not the King of England. So, and of course, Catholic means universal. So here we are, Hebrews 12. And this may shock you a little bit, my brothers and sisters. You know, we hear this word bastard, okay? And I want you just to hold your horses and not freak out about this, okay? Because it's a very important word, and I've looked through some of the other translations, and they keep using that same word. And of course, it can be a swear word, it can be used as slang, it can be used as derogatory, but I'm using it in this sense, my brothers and sisters, as in this way. 2 different ways. Okay, first of all, the church, the Catholic Church, watering down this piece of scripture, in a sense. Because what we've done is we've gone Hebrews 12, 5 through 7, and then 8, 9, and 10, we're not going to read. See, we don't read at Mass. But I'm going to read it for you, my brothers and sisters. I'm going to read it for you here on the radio. So this is it in its full context. This is Hebrews 12, 5. Okay, I'm going to start there. You have also, excuse me, Hebrews 12, 5 through 13, okay? But here it ends. It ends at 5, and then it begins at 6. And it says here, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. He endures your trials as a discipline. God treats you as sons. For what son is there which he does not discipline? If you are without discipline, in which you have shared, you are not sons, but bastards. Besides this, we have had our earthly fathers discipline us, and we respected them. Should we not then submit all the more to the Father of spirits and live? They discipline us for a short time, and it seemed right to them. but he does for our benefit in order that we may share in his holiness. And there's another word too, holiness, right? So these words that we can't handle. But the reason why I bring that up, my brothers and sisters, because Scripture is not talking about necessarily whether you have a mother or a father, an earthly mother or father, or whether you were born out of wedlock. That's not what the Scripture is talking about. This is the sad part about when we filter things, even the church. When the church filters things or filters Scripture or takes these parts out, because, you know, all the little kids in the pews, the little kids in the pews are gonna hear that word bastard, and they're gonna start crying, or they're gonna repeat it. Well, maybe they will repeat it, but the Scriptures have to be explained. And I'm gonna get to that in just a minute and explaining that. But I want to talk about the fault of the church and not having confidence in us as grown-ups, as mothers and fathers and teachers and preachers, to be able to explain this to our children, to explain this word, and for us not to use the word nonchalantly. And then, of course, I looked it up in the dictionary. It also said lazy and all. It's slang. It's like a swear word of some sort, you know. But they've got all kinds of swear words now that people just say constantly. My point is this. My point is, whenever there's a gap in the Scripture like this, and of course I know other deacons and priests who have made the same complaint, you know, against, the Scripture scholars in Rome and USCCB who set up these readings. I think it's in Rome, actually. And to leave this piece out is a great mistake. Because what the Scriptures are talking about is we make ourselves bastards. We make ourselves bastards by walking away from God. See? Do you understand that? We walk away from our Father. We walk away from our family. And how many of us have done this, my brothers and sisters? I've done it. I've walked away. I've had situations where I should have, you know, stood up and done the right thing. So in a very important way, and in a very important idea and thought that we have for this day, not that I want to over-focus on that word bastard, but, you know, when we can bastardize something, see? And these are very strong words, very powerful words. And a very powerful word. And what we do and what we've done, and we have not taken responsibility. And for many of us, my brothers and sisters, many of us who have walked away from the church, many of us have walked away from just prayer, just personal daily prayer at home, it is a grave mistake. I tell you that. This is a grave, grave mistake. And the church not having specific teachings for this weekend, I know that the Holy Spirit is really calling me and calling you to examine our own consciences. That's what this day is all about, my brothers and sisters. We're 4 months away, so we got 4 months to really get ready to see Jesus again. We start anew at Christmas. Every year, Jesus comes to us as a small baby, as an infant. And any of you who have had children, newborn babies in your homes, it is such a miracle to see this new life and to watch it grow. It's such a miraculous thing. So my brothers and sisters, you know, I don't want to keep using that B word over and over again. It kind of even weighs on me saying it. But to not be this selfish person, to not turn my back on God, and not turn my back on my family, and not turn my back on myself. On myself. Abandoning myself. And understanding that this discipline and the trials that I go through is to make me a better man, to make me a better woman, and to ultimately get me to heaven. Not that I can earn heaven, but there must be justice. there must be justice too. And the wrongs that I have committed, I must try to correct. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Weak knees. Especially those Catholics who don't get on their knees. Especially during the consecration. Think about that. Think about that, how God is calling us to do that very thing. To get on our knees and to pray. And of course, we have in this gospel reading, very powerfully, excuse me. Lord, will only a few people be saved? He answered them, strive and enter through the narrow gate. See, it's not going to be so easy, my brothers and sisters. It's not just going to be a regular little cakewalk and here we go, just strolling on in. We must show God that we love Him. We must show God that we care, that we love our brothers and sisters, that we work hard at trying to keep our marriages together. We work hard at loving our children and our extended family and our neighbors. We work at this. It is an act of the will to love. It is not this soft, gushy feeling, okay, with hearts and flowers and everything is fine and dandy. No. We must work at it. It is an act of the will, especially forgiveness. Forgiveness, which I think is one of the most powerful acts of love. So work on that this week, my brothers and sisters. It is an open book for you. I encourage you to go to the USCCB website and reread these readings. That's the usccb.org, and there's a little calendar there, and you can look at the readings for the day for August 25th, this 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. So another thing too, my brothers and sisters, is go to SaveNazareth.com. Please sign the petition and try to do whatever you can. Contact the Apostolic Nuncio in Washington, D.C. to try to get their attention to please, please, please try to save this historic chapel and mother house here in Kalamazoo. And we are only weeks away, I believe, my brothers and sisters, that they're going to destroy those buildings. And it's probably the saddest thing I've ever seen. And the really a great sadness, too, of the amount of response from Rome and from the nuncio is just very saddening to me. Very saddening to me. So I've been talking about this, the Anti-Mary Exposed, this book by Carrie Gress. That's G-R-E-S-S. And I especially encourage my Protestant brothers and sisters to please try to check out this book. It is fantastic. It really, really teaches us a lot about self-will and how much we have really hurt, damaged, and destroyed in a lot of ways parts of our culture that we need to rebuild. And the main cornerstone of that is the Ten Commandments, rebuilding that. And of course, EWTN.com, St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. And in his general audience, the 25th of June, 1980, the Holy Father continued his catechesis on the theology of the body. The sin of Adam and Eve distorted the nuptial meaning of the body, its masculinity and femininity, which meant to shape their communion. Their relationship was corrupted by lust, which includes the desire to possess the other rather than receive him or her as a free gift. And I know I said that last week as well, and I'm saying it again this week because it is so powerful. I just wanted to repeat that again, that St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body, and you can get that at EWTN.com. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.